Howdy do, buckaroos. Welcome to the Mac Observer Daily Observations podcast for Wednesday, November 14th, 2018. I am your host, Kelly Gamont. With me today is Dave Hamilton. Hi, Dave.
Hey, Kelly. Thanks for having me on the show.
Thanks for coming by. And Andrew Orr, we have on the show today. Hi, Andrew.
Hey, it's good to be here.
Now, the first thing, actually, that I want to be able to talk about is... We're talking about Black Friday, which is apparently now a season and not just the day after Thanksgiving.
That's a good way of putting it.
I don't know how it became a season, but it did. So here we are. And one of the reasons I want to talk about it is partly self-promoting. Over at Mac Voices, we've made mention of this before. Over at Mac Voices, I was on the holiday gift guide. I've done a few of those now. I got to do one again this year, and Andrew has also made an appearance over there. Yeah, Andrew?
Mm-hmm. I just got it done last night. That was a lot of fun.
Yeah. And the gift guide over at Mac Voices is always a lot of fun because it's wide open. So you can pick a very small thing that's maybe a little upgrade to something somebody's already using, or... you can pick something massive that's loads and loads of money. I know one point somebody picked attending the Big Nerd Ranch like coding boot camp as one of the presents, and you know, and then there's everything from that down to you know, I've picked like retractable cables and interesting chargers and everything in between. So those are always really fun. Plus this year we've seen a lot of deals that have come out early, and Dave, you had a good theory about these deals. So I'd like you to tell people about, you know, if you see the good deal, what should you do with the good deal? A good Black Friday deal before Black Friday.
Yeah. You take that deal because, I mean, we're only a week and a half away from Black Friday, right? Less than that.
Right.
And arguably about the same amount of time away from Cyber Monday, right? Being that the Monday after that Friday. And the reality is, anything you buy, take the season out of it. If you bought something today and 9 days from now, that thing went on sale at a lower price, you would be able to usually call the store and get that price, you know, guaranteed, and you'd get the price drop. Even if you couldn't do that, which really with 9 days, I mean, most places you just return it and buy it again.
You know?
But even if you can't do that, your credit card, and you need to check with your vendor and all that, often will provide, you know, that sort of price protection guarantee. They don't like to talk a lot about that because it winds up costing them money, but it's it's worth checking because quite a few of them have it. So, but the reality is, if someone's putting out a Black Friday deal or any sort of deal today, especially if they're calling it a Black Friday deal, that is going to be as good as or better than what you get on Black Friday or Cyber Monday. Like, the price can only go up from here logically.
Yes.
Otherwise, they're going to wind up with a lot of really upset customers, right?
Yes.
I mean, if we look at, and I know this sounds obvious, but I'll say it anyway. If we look at deals in the past, right? Black Friday deals that actually happened on Black Friday, the prices go up from there as we approach Christmas and, you know, Hanukkah and all those other things. So that is also going to happen now. So if you see a good deal, just jump on it. It's probably going to be, again, as I said, at least as good as, if not better than, that deal that you can get on Black Friday. And if it's not, well, yeah, you've already heard how to protect yourself against that. So go. Yeah. Yeah, go forth and spend. There's been a lot of extra money in the economy, they say, this year. So we're supposed to go forth and spend, they tell me. So there we go.
Which may be part of why Black Friday has extended into a season and isn't just the day after Thanksgiving anymore.
Yes, fair point.
Yep. So I do. The other thing that I think has been interesting the last couple of years is that the flyers for what's going to actually be on sale Black Friday seem to be leaked. I don't know if I should be air quoting that or not. Earlier every year.
Yeah.
So, you know, it used to be a big deal that somebody got, say, Best Buy's Black Friday flyer before Black Friday and you could actually go see it. It seems like it's not a big deal anymore, and it's just sort of a matter of course that all these places are letting those flyers be known ahead of time. And, you know, that's only helpful because you can compare. Like, if I do wait a week and a half, can I get a better deal from Target or Walmart or Sam's Club or Best Buy or whoever than this deal that I just saw go by online, you know, and you're able to compare a little bit. The one I'm gonna go ahead and name some names. My two favorites are I think it's Deal News. I still call them Deal Ram because that's what I remember them from back in the day. Deal News, which does all kinds of deals. They do tech deals, home deals, all of that, and the Wirecutter deals section. And the reason I like both of those is because when they tell you the deal, they also tell you how good a deal that is. So they will say, this is the lowest price we've seen, or this is a lower price, you know, but it's been cheaper, or, you know, it's 10% off, which is not that great of a deal. You know, you could do better if you hold out, things like that. So those are my two favorites. Andrew, where do you look for your, I mean, I do that year round, but you know, they amp those up in the back half of the year. So, Andrew, where do you go for your, Black Friday comparison shopping?
Well, I checked out that website you told me about. I think it was blackfriday.com or .net.
Oh, .net. Yeah, blackfriday.net.
Yeah, that was a really good website. It had a bunch of different options. So I've been using that.
That's one that I like specifically for Black Friday deals. Dave, what do you use for your comparison shopping?
Definitely Deal News. I also find myself winding up at 9to5 Toys. They tend to do some of the same things. They're sort of obsessive about being first over there, and that is helpful with, you know, the deals. The other thing to do is, if you have a store that you know you like to shop at, download their app onto your phone, and a lot of those apps will put coupons and deals and stuff in not only the app, but in notifications. So yeah, you have to deal with a little extra noise, but that can be a super handy way of being aware of those types of deals, especially for both retail and online.
Right. So, and absolutely. Yeah. The app is a really good way to go. And part of the reason, I have gone back, because it used to just sort of be a disaster area. I'm going to be honest with you. You would download the app, and like all it would do is give you directions to the store, and it wouldn't even be the one closest to you. And that was like all you could get out of it.
Yeah.
And, you know, like I live in Portland, and it's like, you know, here's the Target in Seattle, which is obviously the one you wanted. No. So they've gotten even better also about local stock. So, like the Target app and the Best Buy app and a few others, you can tell it like, this is the thing I'm looking for, and then tell it you want in-store pickup, and it will tell you like, this one near you has it, this one near you doesn't, you know, and you might be able to navigate a little bit better that way. And that's year round. That's not like a Christmas thing. It's just that those have gotten a lot better about availability in an actual store near you. So you don't have to wait for shipping. If you need to, you can just go and pick it up. And that's gotten a lot nicer. Particularly in the last few years, it seems like a lot of places have figured out that it would be super helpful if I knew whether or not you had it before I bothered to drive all the way there. And it's really nice. And so that would be my other tip, is backing up Dave with, if there's a place you know you're going to shop, that you should install their app. And maybe the notifications are a little bit more, but they're going to be worth it if they end up giving you some deals or some savings on something that you wouldn't have otherwise. So,
and Amazon's app has their I can't remember what the name of it is, and a week from now I'm not going to be able to forget it, but they've got their hourly deals. Like, it's obsessive. And
the flash deals, I think.
Flash deals. Thank you.
Yeah.
Yep. Exactly. And that's actually kind of this is going to sound really dangerous. In fact, now I need to check myself, but that can be a really fun thing, right? Cause you see the flash deals come up, and you might want to take advantage of it, because they create this, I don't know if it's false, but you know, there's this urgency, right?
Yeah.
Where buy, or it goes away. So yeah, there you go. Yep.
I also like those. I do turn on those notifications when I'm doing holiday shopping, because I also like the gold box and the flash deals for inspiration. Like,
right.
Oh, that's not quite the thing I want, but you know, I know who would like a thing like that, you know. Like, that's a really interesting Android phone accessory, but I know somebody who needs that for their iPhone. you know, and that would be a really good idea for that person. And right. So I use those sometimes. I will turn on those notifications and watch them go by for a while and just see if it helps me figure out the people that it's always kind of hard to shop for and see if maybe I can get some ideas for those folks. That's generally what I end up doing with them as well. So excellent. I'm almost excited just because I've seen some of the deals that have come out already. It has since come and gone, but like B&H Photo or B&H Photo and Video, I think they had HomePods for $249. Like for people who are thinking, oh, Black Friday, like what kind of deals? You know, I don't need another TV. Like a $249 HomePod is a pretty sweet deal. So
it's not bad.
Yeah. Yep. You know, $100 off and new, not refurb, not scratch and dent, not open box, anything like that. So that makes them even better deals than they would otherwise be. So with that, we're going to go ahead and move on to sponsors. We have two sponsors for the show today. The first sponsor is LinkedIn Jobs. The right hire can make a huge impact. That's why it's so important to find the right person. You can post a job on a job board and hope, but how often do you hang out there? Don't leave finding someone great to chance. Post your job to a place where people go every day to make connections, grow their careers, and discover job opportunities. LinkedIn. Most LinkedIn members haven't recently visited a job board, but 9 out of 10 are open to a new opportunity. And with 70% of the U.S. workforce on LinkedIn, posting on LinkedIn is the best way to get your job opportunity in front of more of the right people. Head over to LinkedIn.com/TDO and get $50 off your first job post. Again, that's LinkedIn.com/TDO, and you'll get $50 off your first job post. Terms and conditions apply. Our second sponsor today is Ops Genie from Atlassian. Incidents are inevitable, and it all comes down to how your company responds. Getting timely alerts is critical, and that's why there's Ops Genie by Atlassian. Ops Genie empowers dev and ops teams to plan for surface disruptions and stay in control during incidents. Those teams have the power to respond quickly and efficiently, and the right people get notified thanks to alerts that come from integrations with tools like New Relic and Jira and hundreds more. Visit OpsGenie, OpsGenie.com to sign up to get a free company account and add up to 5 team members. Now, the other thing that I wanted to talk about today was, Andrew, something that you covered this morning, which is a new wearable from L'Oreal, which is tracking UV exposure, I believe. I want to hear more about this.
Yeah, it was pretty interesting. So it's this tiny little clip-on device. I think it's like half an inch in size. And so it clips right into your hat or purse or shirt, wherever. Mm-hmm. And it tracks a bunch of different things, actually, more than I thought. So not only does it track the amount of UV radiation that you get outside, it also tracks pollution levels, pollen, humidity.
Wow.
And I think that might be it. So it's a really cool little device.
That sounds really interesting. And I'm hoping that people who are interested in it, it's just a small little clip-on thing. Like you said, it's not a big deal. It's actually, if it's the size that it is in the photo that you, in the image that you have on the article, that's hardly anything. Like, I look at that, I will lose that, you know, very quickly. But I do like that it does track a lot of different things. I think it would be really useful, not just for, UV, like you said, but to track some of that other stuff, because sometimes, like, people talk about like allergies that develop over time and things like that. So if you find that, you know, as the weather gets nicer, that you just really feel run down all the time, like maybe you have a pollen sensitivity that you didn't used to have. So those are the kind of things that are very cool. And one of the other things you said about this is that
this thing links with your phone. Is that right, Andrew? It's not just okay, so it's not all self-contained. It actually tracks this over time, and you can see all the data. Is that right?
Yeah. So what I thought was cool is that it doesn't use Bluetooth, or it doesn't even need a battery. So how it works is there's this little LED detector in this a window on the front of it, and that's where the sunlight passes through. And then the photons from that are stored in a capacitor. And then the sensor uses NFC to transfer that data to your phone.
Whoa!
Oh, my gosh.
Yep.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, so it's getting its power from the phone. Right, so this is... I saw a session last week at MacTech on NFC, and it kind of blew me away because I know we all heard in iOS 11 when iOS 11 was announced, that NFC was available to third-party apps. Mm-hmm. This is a great example of that, right? Mm-hmm. As long as you've got a phone that supports NFC, it can read all this. One little note that came up, though, is the iPhones of 2018, so the XS, the XS Max, and the XR, all have their NFC readers active all the time. It's not really all the time. I mean, it's on a, you know, it's battery efficiently, but you could take your iPhone XS or XR and put it up against an NFC sensor. And if it has a URL on it, you are prompted to visit that URL, just like you are if you put the camera over, you know, a QR code or whatever. Whereas all prior iPhones that support NFC, so anything that can do Apple Pay, really, you have to run the app of the third party vendor to go and do something with an NFC device like this. So yeah, it's just pretty interesting that we really are beginning to get full NFC. Well, not full, some NFC functionality on the iPhone. Yeah.
Well, and the cool thing about this one also is that there's no battery because of the way it works with storing the information. And that's really cool.
NFC, right? NFC doesn't need a battery.
Right.
Because it gets power wirelessly from the reader to then store the data. But yeah, you're right. It's storing the data. It's essentially using solar power, right? To store the data in a creative way.
Huh. Yeah. It's interesting that it's using solar power to track solar. It needs solar exposure to track its solar exposure. Which is genius when you think about it.
You will by definition always have solar radiation if you're tracking solar radiation.
Exactly.
So there you go.
Yeah. So, and then Andrew's piece that we'll have a link to it in the show notes. It has a link to this sensor in the Apple Store, and they show it clipped on a shirt, and it's teeny. Like everything about it, to me, is interesting as a person who used to wear a clip-on majigger, because I had a Fitbit that I used for a long time before I got an Apple Watch, and you know, finding a place to clip it so that it was useful, but also making sure it got charged, and you know, it didn't ever sync to anything of use on my phone, so you know, having to go through the gyrations with that like was sort of aggravating, and so. To be able to move from something like that, because what I remember about that mostly is the hassle, to move to something like this where it doesn't need to be charged, you don't have to plug it into anything, and you just open the app and take a look and it shows you, that seems really cool. And I think, Andrew, you had said that this comes from an incubator?
Yes. So L'Oreal has their tech incubator, and a couple of years ago, they had released this other thing called a MyUV patch, and it sounds like that was like free. So
yeah, it was a sticker
anymore.
I think, right? Okay.
Like it just stuck to your skin.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know if they have that anymore, if this just evolved into this clip-on thing.
Which is still super cool, and. One-time purchase, it looks like it's $60 in the U.S. Mm-hmm. The app, in case you're thinking this might, you know, we're talking about gifts, in case you're thinking this might be a good gift idea, it's the app that goes with it is available both on iOS and Android. So you can give one to anybody. This looks really nifty. I don't have a call to track exposure to any of this kind of stuff, not because I'm not exposed to sunlight, but because I live in Portland, so I have the opposite problem. Like I should be outside more, and because there's not a lot, we're entering the dark times, there's not going to be a lot of sunlight until about March, so this seems like a thing that would be reasonably useful if you lived in a place like that. Now, Dave, would you wear something like this?
This thing is meant to develop better habits, right? Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I mean, I'm pretty aware of the sun. I was raised by my father was nuts about sunscreen and all that stuff. So, I would be surprised if I wore this thing and it told me that I was spending more time in the sun than I thought I was. You know what I mean? But but that's sort of the beauty of these types of things is, right, we all think we're doing what we think we're doing, and maybe empirically we are not. So yeah, I actually would be curious to wear one of these things and see, you know, how good I am about this stuff. Yeah, yeah. For sure.
Yeah. Yeah. Ask anybody who started using Screen Time. How much do you think you use your phone? Let's see what Screen Time has to say about that.
It's so true. Yeah, there's no way I'm right about this. So yeah, I would love to check it out. Yes.
Yeah, it sounds interesting. Andrew, would you wear one of these, seeing like what it is and how it works?
I think I would. I mean, like you, Kelly, I'm in Michigan, so we're entering the dark time of the year as well. But yeah, in the summer, I think this would be pretty helpful.
Yeah, you know,
it also is tracking because of your location. It's not the device itself tracks UV, but the app and the extended service also provides you pollution, pollen, and humidity information, right? So there's more to it. Of course, L'Oreal, you know, they're focused on healthy skin. And look, whether or not you care about your skin and how your skin looks from a vanity standpoint, healthy skin is a great indicator, or the health of your skin is a great indicator as to the health of the rest of your body. Right?
Yes.
So this is a good thing, even if you don't wear makeup or don't care, right? That sort of thing. That said, yeah, like the extension with the app and the service starts making this very interesting. Yeah.
Yeah. And I would totally wear one to find out exposure to other stuff, especially as, like this last summer and particularly the summer before, when we had a lot of air quality issues here because a good portion of Oregon was on fire. It would be nice to be able to measure my, not just the air quality in the area, but my actual exposure to what some of that stuff is in the air, and making it, you know, being able to limit my exposure to it if I could with the pollution and all of that. So I would totally wear one. I think now, like if I were to get one, imminently, what I would end up doing is using it for the opposite. Like, am I getting enough sunshine? Because I know loads and loads of people who live in Portland like me who end up getting like vitamin D pill prescriptions because we're super deficient. So I would probably partly be using it to make sure I'm getting any sunlight, because there's a little bit that you should have, and making sure that I'm sort of keeping that level at something reasonable would probably be a good idea. So I want to hear from our listeners. Would you wear this device? Take a look at it. It's not big. It's not weird. It's you know, not an obnoxious color or anything. So see what you think of it and let us know. You can find us at TMO Daily on Twitter, and you can write to observations@macobserver.com. I want to thank you guys for being with me today. Thanks, Dave.
Thanks for having me. And folks, go check out. It's possible that my Skin Track app will let you do a lot of this stuff without having to actually have the device. Obviously, you're not tracking UV, but you might be able to track the other things. It's worth checking that out. Thanks for having me, Kelly.
Yeah. And Andrew, thanks for coming by and telling us about this wearable.
Yeah, my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
And if you want to hear more from Andrew and I, like I said before, you can see us on the Mac Voices gift guides. And until then, I will talk to you tomorrow. In the meantime, be excellent to each other.